This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Welcome into the program. Just a one-hour show tonight as we take you until 8 o'clock. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauley. Appreciate you spending a portion of your evening with us. It was great to hear from Coach Schertz and Bob Ramsey for the Bill Can Coaches show from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And now we've got you up until 8 o'clock. We'll get a little bit more Billikens talk in here. Earl Austin Jr. is set to join us in about 10 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on the start to conference play for SLU and what to look for coming up on Wednesday when they've got a big matchup in league play headed to VCU. As always, if you want to chime in, you can text into the program at 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you tweet in. You can also that's how you text in. You can also tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. What we've got going on, in addition to Earl Austin Jr., we'll talk a little St. Louis Blues hockey coming up later on this hour when we'll hear some of what Jim Montgomery had to say earlier today. The big Blues news today was that Alexei Torpchenko was signed to a two-year extension. We'll talk a little NFL football coming up later on this hour after a really interesting weekend and just a very compelling final game of the regular season on Sunday night, and they're now going into the postseason. But I did want to open up the program talking Cardinals baseball. And we did a lot of Cardinals talk during Rush Hour Sports during the 5 o'clock hour, Kevin Burney and myself. We didn't get quite as far down this path as I thought we would, and I wanted to kind of revisit something because there does continue to be some level of discontentment from a number of fans about the pace in which things are happening, and that we certainly did discuss, and we don't need to get back into that. But one of the individuals that a lot of Cardinals fans, I think, are getting a little antsy about whether or not he's going to get moved is Nolan Arenado. And the antsiness, if that is even a word, is for a lot of different reasons. Some people remember what happened last year when we were having the exact same conversation, and then he ended up not getting moved. So you remember that, and I think that's totally valid. Hey, it happened last year. Why won't it happen this year? There's people in another bucket who simply do not want to see Arenado get traded. Don't understand why the Cardinals would trade Arenado and think that it is a big mistake and that he should remain a Cardinal moving forward. So I think if you know me and if you listen to me, you know one area that I really work hard. I'm not always there, but one area that I really work hard at is trying to talk about things that are based in reality. When conversations start to go down a path that are just no longer any chance of it happening, just completely detached from reality, I try to jump off that train as quickly as I possibly can. So the idea that Arenado's not going to get traded, or the idea that Arenado doesn't want to be traded, or the idea that the Cardinals shouldn't trade Arenado, I think all of those are somewhat moving in that direction of not completely based in reality. Now, is there a scenario where the Cardinals just do not find a deal for Nolan Arenado and it's somewhat of a repeat of last year? Yes, I will leave open that possibility because I've, like you, I've seen it happen before. And as sure as I was, and I was probably at 99%, and I was wrong, I was probably 99% sure that the Cardinals are going to trade Arenado last year. We all know they had a deal done for him, and then that fell apart when he did not waive his no-trade clause. But as sure as I was that Arenado was going to be traded last offseason, which I was wrong on, I am even more sure about it this year. And every Sunday morning, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom, appears here on KMOX with Tom Ackerman. Something, you know, we haven't had a lot of Monday shows lately because of Monday Night Football. Well, Monday Night Football doesn't really exist here as we move forward now. So we're going to have a lot more Monday shows. What I've been wanting to do previously, haven't been able to do because we haven't had shows on Monday, but I'll do moving forward is, and we'll do a small version of this here right now with one cut. But I think what we're going to start doing on Mondays is kind of dissecting the Chaim Bloom conversation, where I'll go through and take the cuts of what he had to say, and then we'll use those as talking points and talk through just about everything that Chaim has to say on a weekly basis. So that's probably what we'll start doing next week on the program. But at least for this week, at least for the here and now, Tom asked him about the prospects of trading Nolan Arenado and where that whole situation was at. And even though Chaim didn't say anything new, I think that what he said is a good reminder of where they're at and the mindset they have about a potential Arenado trade. This is Chaim Bloom on Sports on a Sunday Morning yesterday morning.
I believe that Nolan's going to the Hall of Fame. There are not that many people you really single-digit number of third baseman who have accomplished what he has on both sides of the ball. That I think his resume speaks for itself, and he will deserve that honor whenever it comes to him, as I believe it will. We all agree we're at a point both where we are and where he is where it just makes sense to find a different fit, and so we've been working on that. Obviously, he's still with us, so that hasn't happened yet. But you know, I've been asked about this a couple times this offseason, actually, including by Greg when I was on MLB Network at the winter meetings. And I don't feel any differently than I did at the beginning. That we do think it would be ideal for everybody to find that different fit, but it obviously has to be something that makes sense for everybody. And we have not found that yet. But I don't feel any differently than I did early in the offseason. On, you know, both that it makes sense and also that we will find it at some point.
To me, that sounds like somebody who's very confident that a deal is going to get done. And it also, there's an inference there that Arenado is all in on this process. And we've talked previously about, hey, are the Angels a fit? And where maybe this time last year, Arenado doesn't necessarily say yes to getting traded to the Angels. Well, now it's a little bit of a different spot that they're in the sense that it's almost a guarantee that I think we're more understanding. Let me put it this way. I think we're more understanding this year of where the Cardinals are at in terms of being competitive than how we were feeling this time last year. They have gone further into the rebuild. They are doing the tough things. They are moving on from quality major league players. We didn't see a trade of Sonny Gray last offseason. We didn't see a trade of Wilson Contreras. They didn't really add to the roster last offseason, but they didn't really remove from the roster either, where this year they are removing from the roster. Maybe I'm a crazy person here. I still leave open the possibility that this team can be more competitive than we expect them to be and that they can flirt with 500 and that maybe if a scenario plays out like it did this year where a team that's in the New York Mets position where they are solidly a playoff team and then all of a sudden they just fall flat on their face and a door swings open wide open for a team that's in that 500 range to kind of go on a 2-week run and grab a final spot in the playoffs. Is there a possible scenario where that plays out for the Cardinals this upcoming season? Sure. But that's the ceiling, right? I think we can sit here and say that's the ceiling. And it's not even that high of a probability. And we all understand that. And we know where this team is at. And we know that in a relatively short amount of time, it's going to be different. That there's, it's going to be a team that's ready to compete at a much, much, much higher level. So Arenado could have looked around at the clubhouse last year and said, hey, there's Sonny. Hey, there's Wilson. There's these guys. Got really good Major League Baseball players. Let's see how it's going. This year, that doesn't exist quite as much. So you're maybe, when you hear the idea of going to the Angels, well, if you're going to be on a team that doesn't have high expectations to win, would you rather go to a place where you get to sleep in your own bed at night or you get to be close to home? That would be my thought process on why maybe there are some places. And Arenado has said that he's got to be more open to more places that he would be willing to get traded to. I don't think he would accept a trade anywhere, but a place like the Angels, where it might have been a no last year, would probably be a yes this year. I don't think they're going to get back in with the Houston Astros, but if he played out last year's scenario again, I think he probably says yes this year as opposed to the no that was given last year. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with our good friend Earl Austin Jr. You hear him on the Billikens broadcast alongside of Bob Ramsey. SLU came off a good win in their A-10 opener. They've got a big one coming up on a Wednesday here on KMOX. We'll talk with Earl coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're locked in to a Graybar Sports Overline on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Haskins looks in on Dunlap, stolen away by Thames. It's showtime. Jam time on the windmill. Left-handed dunk. Crowd on its feet.
Here, give me another one. Oh.
Kellen Thames bringing down the house.
That was Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. on the call of Billikens basketball. They're coming off a win against St. Joseph's on Wednesday. They've got a big one coming up against VCU Wednesday night on the road in Richmond. You heard the Billikens coaches show tonight from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock as Bob Ramsey was with Coach Josh Schertz. Let's get the other half of the broadcast team in right now. Our good friend Earl Austin Jr. joins us on the program. Earl, appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. I am great. The Billikens are certainly great coming off that win against St. Joseph's. I was listening to Coach Schertz's postgame. I love the conversations that Coach has with you and Rammer after games. I mean, these things go like 10 minutes long, which is about three times as long as most post-game interviews go with coaches, and you guys really dive deep on some stuff. So I think for basketball fans, it's must-listen radio. You should be tuned into that. Were you at all surprised when, as great as the team played offensively, and Coach Schertz certainly acknowledged that and talked about it, but it seemed like he had a lot more to say about the unhappiness with what they did defensively. Were you at all surprised with his attitude coming into postgame?
Not at all, because we did play well. It was a record night shooting, 19 three-pointers and everything, but this team and coach and his staff, they have high aspirations for this team. You know, they want to play in the NCAA tournament. You want to try to win an Atlantic 10 conference, and that's hard to do. You know, VCU, Dayton, there's a lot of good teams that you're going to have to contend with. And for you to do that, obviously you're going to have to continue to play well offensively. But I call it, you have to do the foundational things if you're going to be a championship team and win tough games on the road. If the shots aren't falling, you're going to have to play good defense. You're going to have to rebound the basketball. And those are things, why it's disappointing, because that's what we've been doing all season up until the last couple of games. Although we've scored the ball well, defense, there's been some slippage in our defense of output, because we've done a good job of we play physical, we've been connected and everything. So I think that's the main thing. You know, you want to play at a championship level, and it has to happen at both ends of the court. And you know what's ahead of you. You know, we're in conference season now, and obviously the next game you're playing against the gold standard of the conference. But and then another game at LaSalle, you got two games on the road, and so no game is going to be easy. So it's just a good way to kind of get everybody's attention that, yeah, that was fun, but if you're going to play at a championship level, this is what has to happen.
He has specifically talked about being able to pressure the ball defensively, but also keeping the gaps at a certain spot. Whereas if you're defending gets around you, there's somebody there to be able to help out on the other side. Do you feel like it's kind of some basic, I guess the question I'm asking is, how complicated is what they're trying to do defensively?
No, it's just a matter of being connected. Obviously, guy gets beat off the dribble, and it's an extra effort play. Guy gets beat off the dribble, somebody's there to help. Guys, you're fighting over a ball screen, you blitz it, guys rotate over, and just making your people take tough shots, the main thing is, we call it, I don't know, point of attack, being able to guard the ball, keep the ball out of the middle, off the dribble. It starts with that more so than anything. It's kind of akin to getting a pass rush on the quarterback. If you can't get a pass rush on a good quarterback, he's going to pick you apart. If you can't let a point guard or a good player, if he's allowed to get into the middle, get into your paint, it'll compromise your defense. And that's just basketball 101, because he can kick it out, get to the layup, get to a wide open three shooter and everything. So those are the things that we got to get back to for us. And that's the thing we were doing early on in the season, just that the last game or two, that's where some slippage, the fact that we were scoring 91 and 102 points, it kind of overlapped that and everything. So, and the thing is, like, the defense travels. Like you say, there may be games where you're not going to score 100 points. You're not going to hit 19 threes. Like the game against Santa Clara, our first game in California, that was a 71-70 game. They hit us in the mouth pretty good, but we were stout defensively as well, and we were able to pull out a low-scoring game because we played good defense, got a big stop at the end of the game. So those are the things we have to, because if the shots aren't falling, what you want to do is, you got to fall back on your defense and your ability to rebound the basketball. To be a championship team, we got to be able to win the high-scoring games like that, or if a game is in the 70s or 60s, we got to be able to win a game like that and get stops like that. That's what championship teams do.
Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to go with you, because, I mean, the offensive numbers in that last game, they shot almost 70% in the first half. They end up shooting overall in the game on three-point shots almost 60%. It was ungodly numbers that they put up in the 19 of 32, but we all know that if you watch basketball, you can knock down threes at a crazy pace one game, and the next game it may not happen. And you look at VCU, and Coach Schertz talked about this tonight with Rammer, that they may attempt as many threes as against VCU that they made against St. Joseph's. Do you feel like offensively this team has kind of a diverse skill set where what the defense gives you, they're going to be able to take advantage of it?
Yeah, that's the beauty of our team. We go nine deep, and we got such a diverse skill set. We got many guys that can shoot the three-point shot. You got, like you said, you got Trey Green. You got Ish Sharma. You got Brady Dunlap, who's really shooting the ball well. And then you got guys who can just attack the rim, like Deion Brown, like Kellen Thames, like Amari McCautry. And then you got Robbie, our biggest player, who does both. He hits the trail three, pick a pop three, but he can also back you down and get you a bucket in the post. And then Paul Otieno is also a guy who can also score around that basket. He can hit a sneaky three too as well. So I think that's the ability. If you jam our middle, a guy's are smart enough to, Amari or Kellen, they get all they can get. And if you jam it, they're going to kick it out and find a good shooter. And if you overplay the shooters, they're either going to get your back door, or you open up driving lanes for guys like Deion, Kellen, Amari to attack the basket. So I think that's the thing. You can put five guys on the floor, and everybody is an offensive weapon. And I think that's what's the beauty of our team. And then when we really guard, that's when we get out in transition and do some nice things. We're able to get out on the break, push the ball, and that's predicated on good defense. We don't turn it over, but if we can force tough shots, we're going to get that ball and go, and sometimes we'll take it out of the net and run as well. So I think our pace is kind of what helps. And if we play good defense too, we're really going to push that ball regardless. And I think that's what leads to some hot scoring. And if we're able to knock shots down, then that's what it kind of goes to another level.
Winning at VCU is one of the toughest things to do in the Atlantic 10 Conference. What is it that makes that trip and specifically that venue such a tough place to play?
Well, first of all, VCU is a heck of a team year in and year out. They're either at the top or going to win or challenging for a championship. They got a culture there, and it's funny because they've had many different coaches, whether it's Shaka Smart, Matt Rose, or Win Wade, now it's Phil Martelli Jr. They understand the standard there is excellence. You see championship banners, so there's a standard there going in from different players, different coaches. It changes all that. Different styles of play. They play aggressive. And then they got just a great atmosphere, too. They got one of the best bands in the country, the Peppers. They really keep it rocking in there. And it just turns into a hostile environment. And they're the type of team that they can go on a run and get the crowd involved. Before you know it, you know, you're buried in an avalanche of a 14-2 run. And we've been on the business end of too many of those over the years. We've had a couple of close ones, but a lot of times they really got away from us. So it's really fun. It's just hell if you're on the other end of it. But it's a tremendous atmosphere. It's been like, when we've been good, it's like that at Shea Fitz. But Siegel is something else, man.
He is Earl Austin Jr. You will hear him on Wednesday along with Bob Ramsey. That's a 6 o'clock start, so it'll be around this time. The game's going to be coming down the home stretch. So 5:45 for our broadcast coming up on Wednesday. Earl, always appreciate the time. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
My pleasure, always. Talk to you later.
Very good. That's Earl Austin Jr. joining us on the program. Appreciate him. I'll reiterate this. I can't remember the exact question. I was going to text Bob Ramsey about this, and I forgot to, and I need to go back and listen. They were doing the post-game conversation, and Coach Schertz said something, and it kind of piqued my interest, and he kept talking, and Rammer, not in like a rude or disrespectful way, but Rammer kind of interrupted Coach and got a follow-up question right in there. And he asked the exact question, the exact follow-up of something that I was wondering about. I can't tell you how much I enjoy the conversations that Rammer, Earl, and Coach Schertz have after games. And you can learn a lot about basketball just listening to those conversations. So I encourage you to listen to the games because they're great. But the post game is something that has really gone to a new level as well. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll switch gears. We'll talk a little St. Louis Blues hockey. They made some news earlier today. We'll get into all that. That's coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Well, the Blues, they have won 2 in a row, 3 of their last 5. Amazingly, somehow, some way, they are only 1 point out of a playoff spot right now. They have 42 points. The Los Angeles Kings are the final team in a playoff spot with 43 points. So we've said it all year long. If the Blues can ever just go on a bit of a streak, they'll be right where they need to be a postseason club and a 2-game winning streak has put them right on the doorstep. Obviously, still a lot of things to work through here moving forward. Blues did make an announcement earlier today as they announced that they have signed Alexei Toropchenko to a 2-year contract extension. It has an annual average value of $2.5 million. The Blues are practicing today. They're not going to play again until Wednesday when they are in Chicago for a matchup against the Blackhawks. Head coach Jim Montgomery meeting with the media today, and he made it pretty clear
just how happy he was for Toropchenko that he was able to get this extension and how Toropchenko really earned it.
You're always happy when a guy gets rewarded, and we keep a nucleus guy. To me, Torpo has earned everything he's got, and he came in. I don't know if he's a fourth-round pick or a third-round pick. I don't know that part. But I know he wasn't a first-round pick. And, you know, he came here, and I remember Kostin was ahead of him. And he surpassed him because of his work ethic, and he had the ability to penalty kill, and he wanted to do that. He had the ability to forecheck and hound. And you see his game continue to grow. And again, I always say he's the kind of guy, he might only score 7 or 11 goals in a regular season. But when you get in the playoffs, guys like him, like last year, their line scored more than our other three lines did 5-on-5. Because you win with those guys. You need to have skill to get into the playoffs. You need guys like Torpo to win in the playoffs. And because of his penalty killing and his length and his speed, he helps you win every night in the regular season, too.
Toropchenko did not have to re-sign with the Blues. He certainly could have waited this thing out and looked around, but instead he makes the decision to stay here, and Montgomery says that Toropchenko has the type of character that this team wants.
He does have high-end character for such a quiet guy. I think people see his personality with the staring last year, and you know, I saw his interview after the game the other day, and he just has a positive attitude. You know, it's like, it's a happy new year. We haven't lost this year yet. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? He only thinks about the positive, and that's a good vibe and energy that permeates in the room. And for someone, it's a good example of someone who loves being a Blue, who loves St. Louis. He has that work ethic that the fans love, and he has that never say die try in him that is a staple of this city.
Now, speaking of Toropchenko, that fourth line last year was so key. In fact, they were starting a lot of games, and they just really had a big impact. This year, that impact has not been the same for multiple reasons, just kind of the season that it's had. But there's still hope that that group can have that be just as impactful this year as they were down the stretch last season. And Montgomery believes that can happen.
We haven't been able to establish that fourth line identity this year to be able to start games all the time. I loved last year being able to start when Faxe was their center, to start every game. And maybe if we get healthy enough again with the Torpo, Sonny, and Walks, who is starting to get healthy. He's not 100% available yet. We got to see how he handled practice and see how that goes tomorrow. But it'd be nice to be able to get some kind of flow, and maybe you have Mojo too that fits in well, there well with that attitude.
Couple other notes from Montgomery. First off, some good news. Nick Bjugstad, he was back on the practice ice today. He has been dealing with an injury. Not clear when he's going to be ready for game action, but he was at least out practicing. Nathan Walker was out practicing as well. So it seems like the team is moving towards a little bit more health. And Montgomery did confirm that Bjugstad absolutely is making progress.
He looked good in the sense that he got through practice. That was a real bonus. He's a little more behind than Walks is. Walks is, you see a bone, you see it's healed, and now it's, you know, getting in shape, and, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, when it's with Bugs, it's a little more tricky. You got to make sure that, you know, things continue to build and there's no setbacks, because there can be more setbacks.
And then the final thing for Montgomery, this is kind of fun right now out at the Centene Ice Center. A lot going on with the figure skating championships here in St. Louis. There was some interaction between the Blues and Montgomery and some of the figure skating folks. And Montgomery talked about that and just how good it was to see some of those figure skaters and how much he appreciates the work that they do on the ice, even though it's a little bit different than what hockey players do.
I've always enjoyed watching figure skating, whether it's the dance, the pairs, or, you know, the singles. Just the artistry they make skating look and the stuff they do in the air is captivating. And I was talking to them about, you know, how they practice. And then I also gave the juniors are skating over on the other rink. I said, I'd have them take a twirl out there because it's a little softer on that side. And I think it matters to them more than it does us hockey players.
That is Blues coach Jim Montgomery. Again, the Blues are back at it. They match up against Chicago coming up on Wednesday night, trying to win their third straight and go on a bit of a run here, something that we have been waiting for them to do for quite some time. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and we will wrap up this edition of the program. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Just wanted to mention real quickly, and I always kind of pause before I talk about the NFL because I know about the interesting relationship that we in St. Louis have with the National Football League. But I also recognize the fact that St. Louis continues to, from a TV rating standpoint, be really like most markets. But I mean, this is still a really, really good football market. And I just, man, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this past weekend of NFL football. All the different storylines that played out. I mean, it started on Saturday when the Buccaneers beat the Panthers, and then all of a sudden that turned into a scenario where the Saints had to beat the Falcons for the Buccaneers to get a playoff spot. But what happened was the Falcons won. So even though the Panthers are 8-9, they win the three-way tie between them, the Buccaneers, and the Falcons, and they end up being into the postseason. Sidebar, I've said this a million times, so you can tell me to shut up if you've heard this, and I even talked about it on Chris and Amy earlier today. If I was the czar of football, I would actually put in a rule where even if you win your division, you have to be 500 or better to be playoff eligible. So like the Carolina Panthers can be NFC South champions. That's fine. If they want to throw a banner up, they can do that. But they're not eligible for the playoffs because they are not an above 500 team. And basically you would then just add one more wild card team instead. That's, if I was making the rules, that's what I would do. Just to keep some scenarios out, like we're going to have this upcoming weekend where you have a really good Rams team that's 12-5 traveling to take on an 8-9 Carolina Panthers team. Like, that's some of the craziness that we saw last year with the college football playoff, where winning your conference puts you into a top seed where you're hosting, and they changed out the rules. And I know it's not an apples to apples comparison doing college football to the NFL, but sometimes I think some common sense could come in here. I'm not trying to completely dismiss the impact and importance of winning a division, but I think it would be better for the game if you had better teams in the postseason, and a below 500 team is not my favorite thing. That other Saturday game, Seahawks and Niners for the top seed in the NFC, that certainly was interesting. Watching the Eagles just kind of punt on the two seed and not play anybody, and now we'll see. They've got a tough matchup against San Francisco this weekend. But clearly and obviously, the most compelling game that we saw was the Sunday nighter. Now, sometimes people joke around that the NFL is fixed. If it was, this would be a great argument for it, because it was an incredible finish to the game. It was so good. I was watching the game alone, and the game ends, and it was incredible. And then I'm watching the post-game show. And for those of you who don't know, Steelers score a touchdown. They get the extra point blocked. They're up two. Ravens get the ball. They quickly march into field goal range for their young kicker, Loop. He ends up missing a 44-yard field goal wide right in Pittsburgh. Steelers end up winning the game. So in the post-game show, they show video of a Catholic priest dropping holy water in the end zone in Pittsburgh where the missed field goal happened. Stuff like that is the stories that come out of the National Football League are just incredible. So yeah, I was watching all that and my jaw just dropped when I saw that NBC, and but sidebar, kudos to the folks at NBC. That was a masterclass of sports television production on that game. Tirico and Collinsworth were great. They had everything available. There were controversial calls. They were ready to go. Like it was a great sports broadcast that NBC pulled off on Sunday night. So kudos to everybody certainly involved in that. But that Catholic priest thing comes on, and my wife wasn't watching football with me. I was just watching on my own, and I had to like run upstairs at my house to tell her the entire story of how the game finished with the exclamation point of the Catholic priest putting holy water. It was just, and that doesn't even mention the Aaron Rodgers factor and everything that happened with him in New York. And now he gets redemption and he gets to go into the postseason in what very possibly is going to be his final season in the NFL. So I don't know, man. They know what they're doing. There's a reason the NFL dominates TV ratings. There's a reason that it's the most impactful professional sport. Again, I realize here in St. Louis, we have a complicated relationship with the National Football League, and rightfully so. But more and more, it's just, man, it's fun. And all the games this upcoming week, probably outside of that Rams-Panthers game, that doesn't look like it's going to... The Rams are 10.5-point favorites, and rightfully so. Every other game has a point spread at 4.5 or lower. There's a bunch of road teams that are favored. Like, it just looks like it's going to be a really, really good, really compelling postseason this year in the NFL, and I certainly enjoyed what the final weekend of the regular season did. That is going to be it for the program today. Thanks so much for being tuned in, as always. Finally back at it. Didn't have a lot of sports open lines over the last couple weeks here during the holiday period, but we are back. We are going strong, and we're going to be with you. This week, our schedule, we'll have a full show coming up tomorrow. No show Wednesday because of SLU basketball. Countdown to opening day show on Thursday. And then we've got another full show on Friday. So we're back at it. Most of your evening, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, especially now that football is ending. We've got some Billikens in there. But for the most part, we're going to be together on weekday nights, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, if you include Rush Hour Sports. So thanks so much for being tuned in. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Also, thanks to everybody involved with the Billiken basketball coach. A show that we had during the 6 o'clock hour tonight, and we will talk to you again tomorrow for another edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.